How do you describe what's happening to America? Like, is this treason? Is this...
Our government hates the Bill of Rights. That's the big takeaway that I learned from the FBI. They hate your rights. And most of the people in the FBI will suppress your rights, will intimidate you, even if they know it's wrong.
The FBI is the Gestapo right now.
This is an agency that's allowed to kill you if they deem it justified. They can use lethal force against American citizens.
You turned over evidence of the crimes that were being committed by the FBI, and you gave that to Congress. And then what did Congress do for you?
Congress has not done much.
And that's the question I guess everybody should be asking is, what is Congress doing? The evidence is here. The weaponization was done. Action can be taken. And Chris Wray is doing what to right this wrong?
Christopher Wray is doing nothing.
And with Christopher Wray, I've never heard anybody getting fired. All of this wrongdoing, nobody gets fired.
He continues to say things to the effect of that they don't retaliate against whistleblowers.
If there are allegations of misconduct by FBI employees, I condemn in the strongest possible terms any prospect of retaliation against whistleblowers.
The FBI will often tout January 6th as the largest investigation they've ever done. Why are they doing that?
Calling the January 6th investigation the biggest investigation in FBI history. And that makes me ask myself the question, what the hell are you hiding?
According to whistleblowers, Thibault pressured FBI employees to pad domestic violent extremism case counts. Now, I wonder why he would do that.
We need funding to continue protecting America from terrorism.
You shouldn't get another dime. The FBI shouldn't get another dime.
Everybody who voted to continue funding the FBI,
they're the problem.
Jeffrey Epstein, is the FBI going to investigate that?
When you talk about a case like Jeffrey Epstein, like how many agents do you think are that actually seen shit there and that are staying silent?
I would say like at least 100 people, maybe more, to do something like that.
How do you bury that?
Well, that's part of the overall way the bureaucracy works. They keep it compartmentalized like that on purpose. So only a few people know these high profile cases. Because what if there's Congress people on the list?
Jeffrey Epstein, he videotaped sex acts with prominent people to be able to blackmail. And the FBI and other federal agencies have raided his houses. Do you have those tapes?
And I can't discuss the specifics of our law enforcement operations related to Mr. Epstein.
There are members of our government that are actually afraid that three-letter agencies will plant child porn on their computer.
Members of Congress are terrified of the intel agencies. I'm not guessing at that. They've told me that.
Well, they should be terrified to that extent, because there's at least one case we know of that the FBI was doing that. There's a journalist named Cheryl Atkinson.
One of the federal agents involved in one of the operations against me said that they intended to plant child porn in my husband's computer. This is the FBI. There's been a case that's currently in litigation unrelated in which an FBI agent has testified that they did that. They have done that.
It should frighten everyone, the power that they have and how they wield it against Americans.
If you could send one message to the American people that are maybe just now waking up, or what would your one message be?
What is up, LFA TV? We are coming at you live from America. This is Matter of Fact, and I am your host, Ryan Matta. Thank you so much for joining us. Today is Monday, June 24th, and we are kicking off World War III, folks. Well, not us, but our corrupt pedophile government that is controlled by a bunch of elite pedophiles. They seem like they think that we're going to go to World War III. I seen somebody post over on Twitter yesterday. It was probably the best tweet I saw, and it said, Hey, how much money does Lockheed Martin in the Congress plan to make from this war? Can we just print the dollars and give it to them and avoid, you know, I don't know, killing millions of people? Maybe that's what we should be talking about, because I don't know about you, but I'm not super excited to send my children off to war. And we all know who it was. We knew in a matter of minutes exactly who carried out this attack, that the United States was behind it, why they were behind it, how many people they killed in a matter of seconds. So I got this text from one of my sources inside Russia. This was within probably, I don't know, maybe an hour or so of the attack taking place, before any of the news outlets were really even covering it. And it said the following. Yes, Ukraine has struck hard in the south country, including Sevastopol. More than 120 people have been killed or injured and several children killed. Yes, Ukraine has struck hard in the south of our country, including Sevastopol. I'm probably saying that wrong. More than 120 people have been injured and several children killed. This is our government, folks. The United States government is using U.S. weapons to carry out attacks inside on civilian targets inside the heart of Russia. It's absolutely disgusting. And she went on to say it happened today at 12 noon or so. And they used Cossack bombs. There's USA weapons being used to strike targets inside Russia. These are war crimes. Anthony Blinken, Lockheed Martin, everybody responsible for manufacturing these weapons, providing them to the United States. These people should all be just ripped from their homes, taken to tribunals, military tribunals, and be charged for crimes against humanity. Because I'm not sending my children off to die. I'm not letting any of my relatives go off to die in this war, to fight another endless war for these elite tyrants. No. As soon as Lindsey Graham sends his nephews, his cousins, his boyfriends, his little boy toys, as soon as Lindsey Graham goes and gets on the front lines, man, I'll go right behind him. But we'll make sure he's right in front of us. We'll use Lindsey Graham as our body armor in this war on all the other neocons over in Washington. So Brix News just tweeted out a couple hours ago and says, Justin, Russia says we know perfectly who was behind the Ukraine ATACM attack on Crimea and is not Ukraine. So things are about to get very interesting. And I want to play this clip from Scott Ritter. If you guys haven't seen Scott Ritter, he's over on Redacted all the time. He's somebody I value his opinion very highly. So he says, my commentary on the Sevastopol and the Dagestan attacks. So here is probably the best intel that we'll get on this all day. So check this out.
It's Sunday, and normally this is a day I like to take off and dedicate it to my family. But the events unfolding in Russia, I think, require at least some brief commentary. I'm referring to two events, actually. One, a Ukrainian attack on Sevastopol using U.S.-supplied attack missiles. And the second, a terrorist attack in Dagestan that appears to have all the hallmarks of Western involvement. Let there be no doubt, these are two direct attacks against Russia by proxies of the United States and of NATO. And it's more than just a proxy engagement, given the necessity of preparation, intelligence support, etc. This is a direct attack on Russia by the United States, by NATO, and by non-NATO European entities. All of the parties that have made a decision in the last several days and weeks to expand the scope and scale of their participation in the Ukrainian-Russian conflict. Now, some people are saying that the Ukrainians deliberately attacked a beach in Sevastopol. The evidence shows that this most likely is not the case, that five attack missiles were fired, four were shot down, a fifth one being shot down, dispersed either cluster bombs or fragments from the destroyed missile onto the beach, killing a number of Russians, wounding many others. But that doesn't matter. The Ukrainians made a decision to use attack missiles equipped with cluster munitions against a city, a civilian city. This is an act of terrorism. This is in keeping with the Ukrainian actions that have transpired over the course of the past years, where Ukraine since 2014 has been bombarding Russian civilian sites, cities, villages, towns, for the sole purpose of inflicting death and destruction on Russian civilians. This is an act of terrorism. And given that the ATACMS missile cannot be deployed by the Ukrainians without extensive intelligence support by the United States, this is an act of terrorism by the United States against Russia. The same can be said about the attacks in Dagestan. These are deliberately designed to disrupt the civil life of the Russian Federation. Dagestan is part of the Russian Federation. And it's also designed to engender a split between the Muslim and non-Muslim segments of Russian society. This is a tactic that goes back to the first Chechen War and the second Chechen War, where the CIA and other European intelligence agencies sought to split Chechnya away from the Russian Federation.
So hold that thought there. So while he's explaining this, I want you to understand what happened. So this is a tweet over here. So it says, breaking, a terrorist attack on a Jewish synagogue and Orthodox church in Russia's Dagestan. Five police officers were killed and nine more were injured. So let me play a couple of these videos so you can see what actually happened. So here's another one. Here's a longer, far away shot. Doesn't look like we have any audio on this one. Oh, there we go. Jeez, oh, Pete's guys. This is our government. This is what the United States of America's government has done to these poor people. Unbelievable, man. These are terrorist attacks. These are war criminals. And every last one of these men should be drug out of office immediately. And we should build the gallows, treason immediately, and start carrying out public sentencing. Let's continue.
The effort failed, and the effort in Dagestan will fail too. But it doesn't absolve the parties involved of their guilt in launching what is a direct assault on the Russian Federation. Now the question is, what will Russia do? Historically speaking, the Russian Federation has shown an ability to absorb provocations of this nature and remain focused on the task at hand, which of course is achieving the goals of the special military operation, the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine. But at some point in time, there will have to be a response. And what is an appropriate response? That's up for the Russian Federation to decide. But let there be no doubt that if and when the time comes for the Russian Federation to respond to those, all of those responsible for this horrific series of attacks, that the perpetrators held to account will not just be the Ukrainians, but those who have provided the Ukrainians with the weapons and the intelligence and the training to carry out these dastardly, cowardly attacks. We live in very dangerous times. We live at a time when Russia, the United States, and NATO have all been beating the nuclear drum. We don't need a nuclear war, but that's the direction we're heading if we don't stop this insanity. And by stopping this insanity, this means stopping the United States, stopping NATO, stopping Europe from continuing to facilitate these terrorist attacks by Ukraine against Russia. Have a great Sunday.
Have a great Sunday. You know what? Check this out. So there's a few more. Here's another one of Donbass.
Уйди, уйди туда. Твари, блядь.
All right, folks, I want you to pay attention to what's happening right here. Right? Russia had somewhat controlled migration, right? And even being in a war, being probably heightened, having specific types of security in place, specifically at your borders, and this happening, just imagine what is coming across our border. Okay. So after, right after this attack, right? Immediately after this attack, what is the first thing that Putin does? What do you guys think? Okay. Mass deportation is already underway in Russia, right? This is what it should look like in the United States. We should be rounding up thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of illegal immigrants. Where do you think they're all going? If you were Russia and you wanted to deport a bunch of illegal immigrants, where would you drop them off at? Probably in the USA border, wouldn't you? Right? And this is what our government is doing to us, America. Kim.com put out a really important tweet earlier. And he said, remember when your representatives were waving Ukraine flags in Congress And when Russia retaliates for U.S. missile strikes that killed Russian kids on a beach in Crimea today, Joe Biden is provoking nuclear war with Russia. Are you ready to die for these demented fools? This was, remember, and then Speaker Johnson tried to bring charges against Thomas Massie and force him to take this down. Yep. And then Shadow of Ezra, so that British members of Parliament, Andrew Bridgen, is warning the world that NATO is planning to launch a false flag attack on Europe's cities using a nuclear dirty bomb and put the blame on Russia. So you see what they're setting us up for, folks. This is going to be the false flag that's coming that's going to drag us into this war. So this was on their infrastructure, right? So that was a civilian building in NATO, right? That was some type of electronic part of NATO that was very important to them. So Ukraine is now using American missiles to bomb civilians in Crimea, which is basically the same as declaring war on Russia. Keep in mind that Ukraine is not a member of NATO, folks, thanks to Trump.
Well, Putin said that he will use nuclear weapons if Russia is threatened. So is there actually a way of winning any war against Russia?
Well, if he goes nuclear, no one's winning, are they?
But do you think he would?
Yes, I think he would. I've got defence analysts feeding me information, and they're in, you know, services, and they're saying that there is going to be a nuclear detonation in Europe.
Who by?
Well, it could be a dirty bomb. I mean, there's a lot of nuclear material floating around in Ukraine from their nuclear reactors. I mean, to create contamination, all you need is some conventional explosives and some nuclear material, and you've got a dirty bomb. They may have already been set off in the Donbass area now.
And that could be the false flag that starts the war.
Yeah. So there's many ways it can be done.
Like 9/11.
Like 9/11. And the other reasons for having general elections is that, you know, Rishi's maintained that he's got inflation down to 2.3% and his plan's working. Well, if it was really working, he'd be waiting till the autumn to demonstrate it's working more. The fact is, he knows that food price inflation is going to rocket by the end of the summer. And that's going to be no relief on interest rates whatsoever. So this is as good as it gets for him on the economy. He's got to have an election by January next year, so there's no respite from the high interest rates. And the other thing is, of course, the disastrous and ineffective Rwanda bill for dealing with the illegal migrants. That was only ever for show. Anyone who'd been in Parliament for more than 5 minutes looking at the legislation, it wasn't robust enough, not leaving the European Convention of Human Rights or the Treaty Convention on Refugees. All it was going to be is a blank check for lawyers to make a lot of money. There's more chance of you and I going to Rwanda than any illegal migrants, I can promise you. And of course, if you wait till November, that's going to be very apparent that no one's going to Rwanda.
Yep. And it continues. Now, here's footage of the rockets being fired. So literally the start of World War III. Now, it's not like, no, there's no way that Israel would be connected to this anyway, would they? It's not like Israel was threatening Russia, were they?
That I understand you're on the Russian payroll, and I understand this is a Russian propaganda, but you have to be very careful, because let me tell you, we're going to finish this war. We're going to win because we're stronger. After this, Russia will pay the price. Believe me, Russia will pay the price. Russia is supporting the enemies of Israel. Russia is supporting Nazi people who want to commit genocide on us, and just Russia will pay the price. Russia also. Now, listen to me very carefully. We are going to finish with these Nazis. We're going to win this war. It's going to take the time it's going to take, but we're going to win this war. Afterwards, we're not forgetting what you are doing. We're not forgetting. We will come. We will make sure that Ukraine wins. We will make sure that you pay the price for what you have done, you as Russia. and you and as all the enemies of Israel, and you as all the people who are now making everything they can to support genocide of the Jews in Israel. We are not forgetting. We are not forgetting. Remember exactly what I'm saying now. You will pay the price.
Amir, I think it's safe to say that this is a very passionate conflict that is happening here.
Well, people have been massacred. My people has been slaughtered by your proxies, and you will pay the price. Is it clear? Believe me, you will regret this
statement. No, I don't actually think it is clear.
Very, very, very sternly.
I don't think it is clear, Mr. Weipman, and I think, and I would suggest,
then it should be
in the
clear.
Future,
it should be clear.
As being a politician,
it should be clear to you, because you have to understand that actions have got consequences. And when people support murder of Jews, people pay the price. This is true in Gaza. This is true everywhere else. The time that Jews actually have no power to defend themselves is done, is gone. And people will now have to bear the consequences of them supporting genocidal Nazis who are out to exterminate Jews. What we have seen 10 days ago is not something normal. We have seen these Nazis going out, massacring people in the streets, babies, beheading them, older people.
Never been a baby beheaded.
Women
so.
Raping, all these things. You've seen them with your eyes. How can you even dare to support the murderers? I tell you frankly, the public opinion in Israel has changed. We are not now where we were 10 days ago.
Oh, man. So, well, I'm sure Israel had nothing to do with Israel or with the attack in Russia. So let's just pretend like that never happened. He didn't threaten Putin. Nah. So Ben Swan says, how did Hamas manage to overwhelm Israel's defense force, the best in the world? And how did Israel seen to know about Gaza's plan for October 7th as long as 2 years before the attack? Thank you, Jimmy Vador, for having me on and sharing our reporting in Truth Media.
It was like completely wild in the way they're coming in, and they overwhelmed Israeli defense forces. Again, as we pointed out, the best in the world. How do you manage to pull this off? And then when you start to look into the story, and what was surprising, it wasn't just, and you've played a lot of it so far, I hope you'll play more.
Yes.
It wasn't just what happened, right, leading up to October 7th, just before. Israel knew 2 years before. They had the blueprints because of spies in Gaza. They studied them. They knew exactly what was going to happen. They knew how it was going to happen. And Hamas followed those blueprints, by the way, to the letter. It was exactly what they had said they were going to do.
And so I guess I should just expect it now that this has to be reported by people like you and places like this or the Gray Zone. It's never going to be reported on ABC or MSNBC or even Fox or CNN. They just go along with this was, again, what you just showed. Oh, no, it was an intelligence failure. We didn't know. Oh, we got caught with our pants down. Chagrin.
Well, not since the last BB's working both times. We had RC's working, and then he's
that's right. Every time there's
the guy's always working his shift.
Every time there's a 9/11 type thing happened, BB seems to be in power.
Yeah, every time there's a 9/11 that happens, Benjamin Netanyahu seems to be in power. Huh. Weird, folks. The government would never lie to you, so there's no more to see here. It's not like our government is trafficking children, are they?
We're missing 85,000 children. 85,000 children.
I would start at the airport maybe around noonish. 11, but I was already with the baby before that.
How many hours before you got to the airport with the baby?
I want to say about 3 hours.
Okay, you know a baby needs to be fed probably every 4 to 6 hours. That's why women are exhausted, because they never sleep more than 3 hours at a time. I can't even. Look, man, I want to reach across. I want to reach to somebody and punch him in the face. Okay.
And while Democrats across the aisle on this committee want to talk about families being separated under the Trump administration, I'd like to introduce for the record, Mr. Chairman, a letter from Customs and Border Protection saying that the Biden administration is ending familial DNA testing that was at the end of May 31st, 2023. So when you talk about separating children, We have the Biden administration not even testing who these adults and these children are.
And the worry there was from the supervisors was, because there was never any good communication. So a lot of these kids had pills that they needed to take. A lot of these kids had, the babies had formula. But a lot of the time the worry was, well, what if you do it wrong? Well, what if you give them the wrong thing and they die on you, or this happens,
okay,
or that happens?
Hold on a second, Carlos. I'm trying to wrap my brain around this. So you're a young bachelor man, never been married, right?
Yeah, never been married.
Have you ever taken care of a baby?
No. I have a niece, but I never...
You never fed a baby? You never changed a diaper?
No.
Okay, so they give you a three-month-old. Do they give you a diaper bag?
No, they don't.
Okay, hold on.
They don't.
Hold on. You have to change a diaper multiple times a day.
Right.
So what happens if the baby urinates or poops in their diaper?
It was just give it to the sponsor that way.
Okay, but okay. Okay, let's go back, because this is very important. Okay? So you go to McAllen, you're in McAllen, you're going to, is it Donna? The Donna facility, is that where
Donna,
you're going? Okay, so you're going there. What time do they hand you the baby?
So you start off at 3 a.m. to get like on the bus, 2 a.m. to get on the bus. That
to
bus
get
takes,
to Donna.
That, yeah, that bus will take an hour to get to Donna.
So at 4 a.m. roughly, you pick up the baby.
Well, that's the other thing is like the paperwork, get all the kids
okay.
together. So you maybe get the kids around, I want to say around 9 or 10 or sometimes 8. But these kids would tell us, like the ones who could speak, they would tell us they woke us up at 3. And from 3 a.m, they've had us lined up against the wall, or the NGO would have them lined up against the wall, or they wouldn't even let them like properly say goodbye to anybody. If they gave them breakfast, it was breakfast on the go. And
okay, hold on. Okay.
JJ, I can't even figure out what he wants to say.
Where I interview people. This feels like I'm speaking to a guy that is involved in like the largest criminal organization ever. And I have to slow down and go like painstakingly through it because it is so absurd, Carlos. This is so absurd. So please forgive me if I sound angry. I'm not angry at you, but there's so much. I know that you're talking to me, but as you're talking to me and you answer one of my questions, literally I have 7 more. So let's walk through this. When you say children, so they gave you more than the baby to take?
It that didn't happen to me. When I had a baby, it wouldn't happen to me. But
so it would just be the baby?
Yeah, but it would happen to co-workers.
So they would get a baby and what else?
A 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old.
By themselves?
By themselves or sometimes with a co-worker, but a lot of times it's... So 2021 was so out of control. You're supposed to have a partner with you.
And I can't comprehend it. Everyone in this room knows what an Amber Alert is. We all get them on our phones, right? This is when a child has been kidnapped. And we are so concerned in this country about children who have been kidnapped that we have something called an Amber Alert, notifying all of us that there is a missing child. 85,000 children missing, migrant children missing in the United States. Is the same thing as 85,000 Amber Alerts. It's unbelievable. Mr. Wolf, many of the children are brought to the United States by coyotes and human smugglers. In your view, how is Secretary Mayorkas responsible for exacerbating the unaccompanied children humanitarian crisis?
Well, it's not just one action. It's obviously a culmination of a variety of different incentives. It's an incentive structure that has been created over the past 27 months that allows individuals to come into the country and remain into the country. When you exempt UACs from Title 42, that sends a signal to the cartels, to everyone else, to smuggle as many children across that border as humanly possible. We know they're going to stay in the United States. So when you make these categorical pronouncements, the cartels are watching.
The cartels are watching, folks. Our government is running the largest child trafficking ring that the world has ever seen. That is Carlos Arellano. If you guys are not following at Informant Carlos over on X, please consider swinging over there and following him. If it wasn't for Carlos, we would know nothing. And I mean almost nothing about these child migrant concentration camps. The fact that there's 350 of Carlos working at every single one of these facilities and not one person is coming forward to expose what's going on with these children should terrify everything. It should terrify every one of them. Every one of us. It's absolutely atrocious. And the stories just go on and on with no end in sight. Like, I don't know how much more of it our country can take. I don't know how much more of it we can take, right? I think our country has completely lost, you know, the idea of what it means to be an American. Take a look at this clip. This is another interview that me and JJ did with Colonel McGregor. And he talks about who's controlling this country. I add to it a little bit.
So we're now on the receiving end of the same sort of destructive invasion that the Europeans were subject to in 2015. And foolishly, the Europeans said, we'll do this. We'll make it happen. That was Merkel. We can do this. We'll make it happen. Wir schaffen das, is what they said in German. Catastrophe. You know, Sweden, a place where there was practically no violent crime at all. Stockholm's the rape capital of the region. Yep. Some say the world. What is going on? Well, we know what's going on. Mm-hmm. These people have come for different reasons, but a lot of the reasons were not good. And they are very different from the Europeans. They have different attitudes, different expectations, just as the people coming into our country right now are here for all sorts of reasons that have nothing to do with what you and I are discussing. They've never heard of Washington, Cromwell, Lincoln. They don't care. It doesn't matter. And there are people out there that are saying, that's just fine. That's fine. That's all right. You don't have to care. That's not something that's important. So there, these forces, today we refer to them as globalism or globalist forces.
This young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, half of this government, are actually young dominators of the world economy. We penetrate the cabinets.
The change is not just happening. The change can be shaped by us.
We have to prepare for a more angry world. How to prepare? Take the necessary action to create a fairer world. I see the need for a great reset.
So people assume we are just going back to the good old world which we had and everything will be normal again. This is, let's say, fiction. It will not happen.
There is only one way this pandemic is going to go. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
The next crisis is already waiting for us around the corner, and it is the climate crisis.
Years ago, we simply called them internationalists rooted in Bolshevism that spawned the Soviet Union. Well, that was an enormous failure that killed tens of millions of people and ruined countries and destroyed societies. No one in Russia is a communist anymore. There are no communists in China. In fact, they want to change the name of the country and the party and call it the Confucian State, because everything is about Confucianism in China today, not about communism. These people are the greatest capitalists the world has ever seen. So everyone has figured this out except us, and suddenly we have an elite that seems to have adopted this value system. It's fundamentally foreign to us.
By now, we probably all know what AIPAC is, the American-Israeli Public Affairs Committee. All of our presidents sure know what AIPAC is. And there's this anti-Semitic conspiracy theory that they pay all of our politicians in order for them to support Israel, but they don't pay our politicians. See, when you look up who received the most pro-Israel money in the last election cycle, this is not money going into their pockets. This money is going to their campaigns. And that's how they get elected. Once they're elected, they do other things to get rich, not to mention the political influence, prestige, connections that come with the positions. But when you actually look at who's receiving the most money and why they're receiving the most money, it's way more interesting. So in 2022, the top receiver of pro-Israel money in the House of Representatives was this woman named Chantel Brown, and she received over $1 million of campaign contributions. Why? See, most of you have probably never heard of this woman, and she's definitely not Jewish. But the key factor is that she only won by a narrow margin, and she was running against Nina Turner. And this was a very important seat for AIPAC and the Israel lobby. See, if we go to the ADL, they have a list of radical anti-Israel candidates in the 2022 primaries. And there's only like 6 people on the list, and one of them is Nina Turner, who has spoken out against Israel lobbying money. And she was a serious contender to win this congressional seat. Hence why this obscure politician you've never heard of received over $1 million of pro-Israel money. This list too. Like if you look at Haley Stevens, the second highest recipient, that would be this lady, and she's not Jewish either, but she's very pro-Israel. And it just so happens that she was actually running against Andy Levin, who is Jewish and is also obviously very pro-Israel. And he's also one of the top receivers of money. So this Michigan seat, they had locked down. I don't know the exact dynamics of why, but they were backing both horses in that race. So next, Elaine Luria. Elaine is super Jewish, her whole family, tons of Jewish history. And she has historically been running very close races against this guy named Scott Taylor. 51%, 51%. So that was a big deal. But then this year, not against Scott Taylor, she was running against this woman, Jen Kiggins. And she actually lost, despite receiving $723,000 of campaign donations. And although she's super Jewish, it's not a huge deal because Jen Kiggins is also very pro-Israel. So I guess they'll take the L on that one. Next recipient, Josh Gottheimer. Same story. He's Jewish and he was running a really close race and they wanted him to win. And now is where we get to the other part of the picture with Hakeem Jeffries, who received $439,000 in 2022. He is not Jewish, and he was at no risk of losing the race, 72%. But he's super pro-Israel. They paid for a trip to Israel for him. He's been called one of the most pro-Israel Democrats in the House. He said, quote, back home in New York City, we consider Jerusalem to be the 6th borough. And in the last election cycle, 2020, they didn't really care. They only gave him $36,000 versus this election cycle, $439,000. That's like more than 10 times as much money. And it's probably because in the 2022 election cycle, he became the House Democratic leader. That's a lot of influence. Probably a pretty solid investment. Next is Andy Levin, who we already talked about, the Michigan double-double. And then we have Richie Torres. This one's really interesting. And this is the last one we'll do. See, Richie Torres is just a dude. He's actually one of the only congressmen who didn't go to college. But he is super pro-Israel.
Treason, America. Treason. This is what our politicians are doing. They openly know it. We openly know it. And we just stand by here and pretend like it's all right that our government's trafficking children, that they're trying to get us all killed, that they're putting fluoride in our water and chemicals in our food and lead in our kids' Lunchables. And we continue to sit here and pay our taxes and be good little slaves.
Your current system has 85,000 kids they can't find. What in the world? It's the New York Times. It's not Fox News. And we're sitting here talking about a fiction of saying there's an infant rolling through somewhere outside of Eagle Pass right now, begging to claim asylum. The infant is not doing that. This is absurd. You know it's absurd. We have language here put forward in good faith, trying to figure out how to stop what I see in this chart behind me, where unaccompanied children are spiking through the roof, have been doing so since Democrats have been in charge of the administration. The only blip is when you had a Republican in charge. You had kids on top of train cars, getting abused by cartels. You got numbers spiking through the roof since President Biden has been in office. And all we want to simply do is say, we want to get them home to their families. We want to get them to the place where they can go to a port of entry so we can take care of them. And we're being treated by my colleagues on the other side of the aisle with, where are the 1,000 that aren't being reunified? Well, go find the 85,000 that we don't even know where the hell they are under the Biden administration.
How many children? How many children? Let's say that again, Chip Roy. So the number, right, that they admitted to back in 2022 when Tara was testifying in front of Congress was 85,000. I went through last week and I added all of the numbers up. I showed you guys on the screen here. It's 438,537 or 573, give or take. I'm in the ballpark of a couple hundred children. How does your government lose 438,000 children, America? Where are these kids? Where did they go? How does that many children go missing? And nobody wants to talk about it. Not to mention the terrorist attacks that are going to happen this summer. It's perfect, right? We attack Russia. Now, when our government, when our CIA detonates a dirty bomb in America and blames it on Russia so that they can go send us all into war to die. No, F that. F that. And even if Russia did strike on USA soil, they would be justified in doing so. After everything we have done to the world, I wouldn't blame Putin if he put a nuke into DC. I don't think anybody would be even upset about it. If every single one of these politicians was drug off to military tribunals and never came back, every single one of them, we wouldn't even care. We wouldn't even give a damn. Like, that's how corrupt our government is, that if every one of them disappeared, none of us would care. We would actually be grateful. Because this is the trash that we're dealing with, folks. Right here. AOC says, Fox News, big mad that there were so many people, not the money. We rallied 1,200 people in the Bronx to take on dark money, get fired up, and send busloads of volunteers to Canvas and phone bank. It's called organizing, and it's fun as hell, says AOC. Yeah. So as much as I despise AOC, it's pretty bizarre that AOC is running on the defund AIPAC and defund the elite globalist lobbyists that own and control our government. Bizarre. And Jamal Bowman. Listen to this.
What's up, everybody? We are just a few days out till the election day, our primary election on Tuesday, June 25th. But the good news is that the polls are open right now and we are here for our brother, Jamal Bowman. We want to turn out the vote. I don't care if you live in New York 16 and are turning out to vote for him. I don't care if you live outside New York 16. We are texting our friends. We are turning out. We are calling our friends in Tuckahoe, in White Plains, in New Rochelle, in Yonkers, and telling them to vote for Jamal Bowman.
Ceasefire right now, y'all. That's what we're doing. Right. Ceasefire now. Let's get it popping. Right. The polls are open today. The polls are open tomorrow. Make sure you get out to vote. Election day is Tuesday. Let's go. We need record turnout all across the district, especially in Yonkers, Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, Co-op City, and Edenwald. Let's get it popping. Let's change the world. It's the many versus the money. We're going to win. Right. Let's go, baby.
We're going to win. We're going to take on AIPAC, and we're going to kick some Wall Street ass. So let's go.
Stop the bombs.
I mean, I can't say I disagree with the clown show there. I didn't think I was going to be voting for a politician that says, I don't even know what he said. I can't even remember what he said. What did he just say there that was retarded? Something stupid. I mean, it's like a clown show everywhere we look. But I agree with the defund AIPAC and the defund the lobbyists that control our government. But I would never vote for those clowns. But this is where you have like no option but to just realize that your entire government's rotten and corrupt. So Kim says, Benzman, we've been warning about terrorists crossing for 3 years, and it looks like 8 Tijaks actually did. They were arrested in 3 different cities for plotting a bomb attack. The details of the case may never be made public. Huh.
Recently, 8 men from Central Asian country Tajikistan were arrested after entering via the southwest border and allegedly planning a bombing. Tell us about this story. These people were trying to bomb the interior of the United States?
Right. This is a story. It's a very monumental, significant national security case. The first really of its kind associated with this massive historic border crisis that we've all been warning about terrorists crossing for 3 years. And it looks like eight Tajiks actually did. They either crossed illegally or they used the CBP One app to schedule their illegal entries with the government. And within a year or so, the FBI was arresting them. It looks like they were arrested in the first week of June in three different cities for plotting some sort of a bomb attack. It was an FBI sting, a multi-agency, multi-state sting. At this point, there is no indictment. There's no unsealed indictment. There's no court case that I know of. It looks like the government has decided to turn this into a kind of an immigration case for now. They turned them over to ICE. ICE supposedly has them, which means that the details of the case may never become public because they'll just do deportations quietly, hope that people like you and me forget all about it. And then it just goes away until November. Really, November 5th is what the object here is, in my opinion. You know, no news is good news on that story until November 5th. I don't know. However, we are trying our best.
However, Todd, the no news is good news is that the amount of Americans being murdered right now, they're losing the narrative on this, right? I mean, it is, they might, you know, slow down the bum rush in some ways, which they haven't. But the amount of crime on the interior of the country right now, I mean, from kidnappings to rapings to murders is remarkable, Todd Bensman.
Right. And the issue with trying to quantify that really is that most states other than Florida and Texas do not count immigration status when they make arrests and when they do sentencing. It happens in Texas. And recently a law was passed in Florida to do it there, but it's still kind of early to get numbers. So what we know is mostly anecdotal in the media. And as we know, most of the media really shies away from ever reporting immigration status. But conservative media is out there reporting this, and some regular media is reporting it. And it's just bloody mayhem from one end of the country to the other. And I'm not talking about regular crime. I'm talking about slaughtering, torturing, raping kind of crime from illegal immigrants who have been deported 6, 5, 8, 10 times, right? And it just keeps coming. These horror stories, the Halloween horror stories just keep coming. I wish we could quantify it, but I think the American people kind of know that this is happening, that this sort of thing is going on, and that it's pretty ubiquitous.
So let me ask you, if Donald Trump were to win, a missing component here is getting the Mexican government to secure the border. If the Mexican government wanted to quell this invasion, let's just say if President Trump takes office and he calls up the new communist woman who's running Mexico and he says, listen, you have 48 hours or else there's a 50% tariff on anything coming into America. Not a single person is allowed to come across the border. Does the Mexican government have the capacity or the ability to do that?
Totally. In fact, Charlie, they're doing it right now under a deal with the Biden administration that his State Department, he did too. He went down there himself in December just before Christmas and they struck a deal. We don't know what the nature of that is. We think it's more carrots than sticks, that the Mexican government, Lopez Obrador, would shut things down or slow things down until November, until the election. And they have been doing that. I know because I've been down there with the Mexican troops watching them do it multiple times, and they are slowing it down to keep the U.S. media away up until November 5th. We don't know what they're getting paid. We know that Lopez Obrador has asked for $20 billion. It's working right now. When Trump was in office, it worked then too. He was a stick kind of guy. And if Biden is offering carrots, it's a sure bet that the Mexican government will just decide to shut it down whenever they feel like it. But if it sticks, like Trump did in his first term, we know that they will abide by it. They did slow things down significantly during the Trump years. When Trump gets back in, it's going to be another tariff threat, et cetera. He'll put it right back in and keep it going after November 5th.
Amen to Trump. We need to get Trump back in that office before our country's in serious trouble. And I mean serious trouble, folks. Let me let you in on our first sponsors today. Go over to AmmoSquare.com, folks. AmmoSquare.com helps you stay stocked up on ammunition. It grows slowly over time, and it's stored for free, and it builds up, and then it ships anywhere in the United States, anywhere within 1 to 2 business days. They were started in 2015 and have over 30,000 customers all across the globe. You pick your caliber, you set your budget, you select your shipping amount or your shipping trigger, and your ammo builds up slowly over time. It's literally like a DCA. It literally DCAs you into your ammo, like a 401k for your ammo. And then when you hit $250, it's free shipping. So you can do $25, $50, $100, whatever monthly amount that you wanted to buy in ammo. You can pick any one of your calibers. You can see the long list of how many different ammos that they have here. And then you just DCA yourself in and it hits $250 and boom. Next thing you know, you got a couple thousand extra rounds in the house and you're ready for whatever the Biden administration has planning. Again, that is AmmoSquare.com. Tell them that Ryan Matta from LFATV sent you. Next up, let's take a look at Insurity Financial Services, folks. Go to insuretyfinancialservices.com today to schedule your personal life insurance policy. With life insurance, with life insurance, your health buys the policy and your dollars pay the premium. So call or schedule today and get peace of mind before you rest in peace with personalized life insurance for every stage, every need, and every situation. And then if you guys want to do me a personal solid, my good buddy, one of my good friends has this website and he builds AI software for these tech companies and he's putting out a newsletter. So if you're into upgrading or integrating AI into any one of your business models and your websites, you guys can go over here. It's free. You just put your email down here. You hit subscribe. Again, that is Smart UAI. And this guy's working for some of the biggest companies in Silicon Valley. So he's super, super good with AI. And he's looking to start his own business and help people integrate, put automated chat bots and stuff like that on your website. So if you have customers that have questions or they're common questions, you can build automated systems that pretty much answer all of the basic questions for these people right off the bat. So again, that is Smart UAI, folks. Smart UAI. And up next, folks, we have our fun friends over at Done With Debt. Done With Debt are brilliant debt relief strategists. And they call these things debt traps. And the debt traps that you're caught in, they're definitely not your fault. You didn't cause inflation. You didn't set gas prices. And you didn't jack up credit card rates. And you sure as hell didn't cause Bidenomics. The thing with these debt traps is they're going to destroy your life if you don't get out now. And the only company I recommend is Done With Debt, folks. Done With Debt are brilliant debt relief strategists. First, they stand between you and your bill collectors. Then they negotiate a plan to get you out of debt permanently without bankruptcy and without taking out any loans. But listen, some of these strategies are time sensitive, so you can contact Done With Debt right now, like today. It couldn't be easier. You get a free consultation, you share what you're dealing with, and they'll explain a strategy to erase your debt faster and easier than ever thought possible. Again, go to donewithdebt.com, folks. That is donewithdebt.com. And if you guys are looking to buy some of that Bitcoin dip right now, we just hit that new monthly low down to 59,000. So if you guys have not been stacking those sats and you would like to, my affiliate links are down below in the description. If you live in the USA, I use Coinbase. If you live outside of the USA, my favorite exchange to use is Bybit. They'll give you the most free Bitcoin based on the amount you deposit. Again, my affiliate links are all down below in the description. And you can support us directly over here on LFA TV by dropping those super chats in the chat. And you can also check out our website. I think Jeremy's remaking it right now. So the website should be done shortly. And we'll have a lot of great links, t-shirts, hats, hoodies, coffee mugs, the whole nine yards over there on LFA TV. So you guys can support us directly over here on our website. So God bless you guys. And we are back over here on Matta Effect, getting ready to kick off another round. Let's talk about a little bit more about these child trafficking. I got enough time probably for one more clip. I want to play this clip of Candace Owens. And they're going to talk about what's being done, how sick and what's being done to these children. People have no idea. Check this out.
Between the ages of 12 and 17 years old in New York City, this little girl was raped, we guess, about 60,000 times before she was finally set free. And that's the fate of thousands of children.
I was ignorant. So the fastest growing enterprise in the world is child sex trafficking.
Fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world
is
the selling of people.
Wow.
Yep. 30 million people are enslaved. About 8 million children are enslaved, whether it's sex slavery, slave labor or organ harvesting, which is something we are working on mostly in the Middle East right now.
Okay, I don't think the majority of Americans know that information.
They do not know that.
That is incredible.
Okay. 100 times worse than I could have even perceived in my mind. The things that people do to children, and these are young children. You know, people think we're talking about child pornography or child trafficking. They think 16, 17, and certainly those are technically minors. That's not even what we're talking about. We're talking about 5 years old, 6 years old, 7 years old, what people are doing to these children. In the last couple of years, there's been a 5,000% increase in child rape videos on the internet. And these are little children who are being abused this way. So in the case of Haiti, we went down there. We were able to get phone records. See, a place like Haiti, here's the problem. These kids that get trafficked and kidnapped in these countries that are developing, there's almost no hope because a lot of these countries, most of them don't even do proactive investigations. We're very blessed to live in this country. We have, you know, first class law enforcement, federal, state, local. Over there, they don't. And a proactive investigation, which is required to liberate children, they don't do them.
Right.
It's all they can do to keep up with the reactive, the dead bodies, the homicides they have to deal with every day. And so we were able to go in and say, look, we'll help you do these proactive investigations. So we helped them and they got phone records and we were able to locate this place where we were certain that the little boy had been taken at one time. And so we flew a drone over really high over it and we're just mortified to see we counted 20 some odd children in this compound. There was high walls, you couldn't see around it. And then we had to get in. So what's going on in there? So we drive up to this place and they've painted on the wall in Haitian Creole, you know, Happy Day Orphanage. Well, there's no registered orphanage mm-hmm. in Haiti called that. And so we know it's a front. What are they doing? Well, we know what they're doing. They're selling. If there's 8 million children who are being sold into slavery, 2 million of those are just sex slavery every year. How do those kids get into the market? This is how they get into the market. Mm-hmm. You know, after the big earthquake in Haiti or in any kind of natural disaster, what happens is people do this. They throw up a sign that says orphanage. And in the wake of the chaos, innocent people are taking children. Oh, we'll take them here. And it's harvest time for the traffickers. This is how children get put into the sex trafficking or the labor trafficking market.
These are some of the 33 Haitian children an American Baptist group allegedly tried to unlawfully take out of the country on Saturday. Orphans and abandoned children, victims of the earthquake, some as young as 2 months old. The Haitian authorities stopped the bus they were on as they were about to cross into neighboring Dominican Republic. With them were 10 Americans. They are now in police custody. And they reportedly say they were planning to set up an orphanage for the children in the Dominican Republic.
Our understanding was that we were told by a number of people, including Dominican authorities, that we would be able to bring the children across. I understand that.
It is the WikiLeaks bombshell that we've been waiting for, a convicted child abductor caught stealing children in Haiti with the Clintons. As we've reported here over the past 48 hours, details have emerged from the FBI's reopened investigation into Hillary's emails that were found on Anthony Weiner's laptop, that serious additional crimes were also under investigation that were unrelated to the email server case involving, among other things, child trafficking. Now, WikiLeaks has just released perhaps the biggest bombshell yet, now spreading like wildfire across the web, revealing emails showing how the Clintons supported child stealer Laura Silsby. Now, there was also an email where they were actually pricing how much it costs to transport the children. The evidence is there to prove the Clintons are tied to child abduction. This is no joke. Here is a picture of the child snatcher herself in prison. And pretty soon we should hope to see Hillary Clinton standing in a cell similar to that. Her name is Laura Silsby. She's right there on the far right, and she runs the, quote, it's called the New Life Children's Refuge. It's a nonprofit.
These are the sick people that are still, I mean, it is absolutely insane that there are 800,000 missing children in the United States of America every year. With our technology, with the amount of money we spend on law enforcement, should make everybody sick, guys. But we're going to be making a full documentary, God willing. You know, JJ has been wanting me to do a second documentary, and I was hemming and hawing about it. I already have plans. Well, I'm already making a second and a third. I already got in the works, but JJ wanted to do a second one with me. And I told Carlos I was going to do one on child trafficking with him, or if I ever did one on child trafficking, it would be with Carlos. So when JJ asked me to do it, I was like, I know, I already told Carlos I was going to do one with him. So, you know, we'd have to do it with Carlos as well. And JJ's like, I'm cool with that. And then, you know, he goes, and when he made sense, he goes, you know, I think God is going to make sure that this first documentary is successful because he wants us to make one on the child trafficking. And I go, God willing, you're right. You know what? If this first documentary does well and we do as good as we hope it's going to do, 100% we'll do one on child trafficking. So if God willing, God wants us to be successful and wants us to make one on the children, then, well, we're going to make one for these children. We're going to help free as many of these children as we can. We're not going to shut up until we shut down these child migrant processing facilities. They're terrorist organizations. They want to kill us all. So be safe out there. God bless you guys. Up next, we got the NFSC. That's a wrap over here on Matter of Fact for the day, folks. Already 3 p.m. Damn, the time goes by so fast when we're having fun over here on LFA TV. Thank you guys so much for your support. Everybody that's gone out of their way to help share our documentary and help promote it. The intro you watched today was with Garrett O'Boyle. He's the FBI whistleblower. That was one of the interviews that we did when I went over to Wisconsin. Or it was actually Chicago, and then he drove over from Wisconsin and met us at our Airbnb. So I want to give a big shout out to every one of the whistleblowers that have came forward and helped expose the corruption inside of our own government. Every day we get closer and closer to exposing these people, and every day it feels like they're driving us into World War III. So up next is the NFSC, followed by a stacked lineup of shows all day over here on LFA TV from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So please consider smashing that like button for us. We always have a hard time getting those likes high as we need them to. So if you guys haven't already, please smash that like button and then swing over and check out the NFSC. They are going live right now. God bless you guys. Peace.
Run.
Tomorrow we're going to break the report on the undercover inside these whorehouses in New York City. So if you guys didn't see it or you guys are still here, come join us.